Our last panelist is our good friend Cora Dixon from the International Trade Administration. Cora Dixon is a renewable energy sector analyst with the Office of Energy and Environmental Industries at the International Trade Administration and the U.S. Department of Commerce. She currently covers biofuels, biomass, hydropower, fuel cell power, geothermal power, and waste to energy. Since joining ITA in 2001, Ms. Dixon has worked on several sectors and markets, particularly in the Asia region, to address policy concerns with foreign governments. This is Cora Dixon's third National Ethanol Conference. Certainly that, I think, is evidence of the government's commitment to this industry. They've looked to see that what we've been doing with respect to exports, and I mean, I think have been impressed with that and think this is an area for our growth. So without further ado, Cora Dixon with the International Trade Administration.
Okay. Well, it's a distinct honor to be the last panelist on the last panel of the conference. And I'm no Mr. Grundler really set the high standard this morning. As a bureaucrat, I'll do my best to try to live up to that one. But thanks again for being here to the bitter end. And as an industry analyst for the International Trade Administration, I actually focus on renewable energy. And over the past 3 years, I've been tracking biofuels exports. And I'm really looking primarily at the fuel use of ethanol. So I offer that, you know, in advance. I recognize that the industry is a lot wider ranged. But today, I'm here to encourage U.S. exporters to combine their efforts and utilize government resources on a larger scale, such as the recent trade mission to Brazil that was mentioned, and I'll talk some more about that later. I believe that with a coordinated approach to opening markets, or even to just enhancing your existing trade relationships, you will indeed see that a rising tide lifts all boats for the ethanol industry, circling back to the opening speech that Bob Dineen made. All right. Well, here's a fun fact about 2013. We shipped more ethanol to Tunisia than to the UK. Everybody knows why, but it's still very surprising. It's a completely new market. 2013 wasn't as big a year as 2011, but 2014 is looking very promising. Let's see. Fun fact number two. How many different markets did we have? We shipped ethanol for fuel use to 60 different markets. It's not, again, our all-time high of number of markets, but it's extremely diverse. And this is, again, according to the classification system, just for fuel use. So fun fact number three, you know, where did most of that ethanol go? We had 60 markets, but actually most of it went to the top 12 markets. And 95%, as a matter of fact. So there's actually still a lot more work we can do to develop a wider range of relationship, trade relationships. And I want to show you quickly the top 12. And this is actually in liters. I'm going with the metric system here because that's where I got my trade data. You'll see Canada completely, you know, more than half of our ethanol fuel. Always has been a strong customer. Brazil, still number three. Philippines, you know, some of these countries on here, it's amazing how geographically diverse, as Chad mentioned in his presentation as well. India, Tunisia. The UAE is a sort of a different case. They're not really using the ethanol themselves. They're just, you know, retrading it. But that doesn't matter. You know, an export is an export. Here's another way to slice and dice the 2013 numbers by region. And yes, we are selling more ethanol already to Asia than to Europe, thanks in large part to the Philippines and India. But I'll also caution the European slice of this pie chart includes Norway. So if you were to only include the EU member states, it would be even smaller. The U.S. used to sell one-third of its ethanol exports to the EU before the anti-dumping duties, and it just goes to show that trade policy can have a huge effect. And, well, there's no need for me to go over these. Everybody's been saying, you know, the opportunities are there. This is the good news. But we do have challenges, and some of these have been touched on as well. Everybody knows the anti-dumping duties, sustainability certification requirements. And some markets, they just favor the local or the regional ethanol, even if our ethanol is more cost competitive. That may also be a policy. You know, they want to produce their own ethanol. Sometimes the discrimination is against grain-based ethanol for food security concerns. I think the Philippines makes an interesting case because they have a mandate, and they need it with a combination of their locally produced ethanol and ethanol imported from the U.S. and from Thailand, all totally different feedstocks. So that's a great open market, and we should keep pursuing that. Sometimes a country just doesn't promote biofuels very seriously, and you know, I'm very skeptical actually about Japan, even though Brazil has had some luck selling ethanol to them. But I believe their focus is more on electric vehicles. That's their idea of a clean energy transportation solution, and it's no surprise since they're very dominant in the auto industry. There are countries that just flat out don't allow imported ethanol to be blended into the domestic gasoline supply, South Africa. China is also this way, at least nominally. Their stance may be softening a little bit. They do have a horrible air pollution problem. And some companies have reported sending ethanol fuel for, you know, for fuel use to China, but they're never going to admit this. I'm sure they're never going to officially recognize this in their trade statistics, but it's an interesting phenomenon. So the challenges are there, but they're not insurmountable. I believe many of them are better addressed on a collective basis. And this is, you know, where the rising tide will lift all boats. To extend the metaphor a little bit, you need to steer your way towards a long-term strategy rather than be buffeted about by the waves of supply and demand. So my advice is to be proactive rather than reactive. Asia. Everybody talks about Asia as the next big market. And I say, don't wait for it to happen. Make it happen. So the rest of my presentation will highlight how the ethanol industry can make use of certain government resources that are available to all exporters. Using these tools, you can understand new markets, address policy barriers, and meet buyers, most importantly. So, you are all aware, there are a number of free publications from the U.S. Department of Agriculture that help exporters understand these potential export markets. And if you haven't already, be sure to browse through their database of annual biofuels reports. These are growing in number every year. For example, you can learn how much a country produces of its own ethanol and whether it brings in any foreign ethanol to meet its demand. The reports also describe the government policies that shape each market. So actually, I have a colleague in the audience. I don't know if she's wave her hand. That's Lisa from the Foreign Agricultural Service. They do a great job. They also recently released a long-term analysis for several key markets in their overall report on agricultural commodities. This was a long-term projection. Now, the Department of Commerce, as I said, we're really focusing on this more as a renewable energy product. And you heard it here first. Next week, check this URL. We're going to have a report coming out. We've basically compiled short-term forecasts, just 2 years, for U.S. exports in each of six different categories, including ethanol. And we hope to get this out next week. And for ethanol, we covered 39 export markets. But as a caveat, we couldn't include the UAE because our model was based on consumption projections. So, you know, UAE is really, they're not really using it themselves. They have other uses for it, et cetera. So it doesn't include a very key market, but other than that, we're trying to look at as wide a variety of markets as possible. Let's see. Okay, so in the area of addressing policy barriers, we talked a lot about these at the conference. If you're ready to tackle those trade barriers, I have colleagues at other agencies that are standing ready and willing to assist. U.S. Trade Representative, the Foreign Agriculture Service, they're the ones who are the lead when it comes to these free trade agreements, and when there's a bilateral issue that comes up, they work together to resolve it. They're there for the sustainability forums, the standards-setting bodies. So they're on top of all of those. And then you may wonder, what does the U.S. Department of Energy do? Well, they have international relations with a lot of countries. They have memorandums of agreement. It's somewhat capacity building, but it's also a great opportunity to exchange views on policies. And I think they're becoming more aware as we bring in more industry input, more private sector input of, you know, the balance that's needed. It shouldn't just be one way. The U.S.-Brazil Strategic Energy Dialogue, keep your ears open if you're interested in that. They'll be holding another meeting sometime soon. And we're trying to build in a chance for industry to be involved. And finally, meeting buyers. This is what everybody wants to do. So first of all, I recommend that you get to know your local commerce office. You can go to export.gov and put in your zip code and find out where it is. they're going to play a role in this brand new Made in Rural America initiative. So on an initial, basically individual basis, they're the ones who can help you get connected with the global network of commerce offices around the world. They're the ones who can set up the matchmaking meetings for you when you visit those markets. You might also want to keep your eye out for multi-sector trade mission opportunities. The Secretary of Commerce is going to lead an energy sector trade mission to West Africa in May. They're currently accepting applications. This includes Nigeria, who we have, in fact, exported quite a good deal of ethanol to in the past. But where you can get the most bang for your buck is the trade mission that's targeted just for ethanol companies. And we haven't had too many of these, but both the USDA and Commerce offer funding that a trade association could take advantage of. And these two programs that I have listed here, the ITA's Market Development Cooperative Program and the Market Access Program from the Foreign Agricultural Service, they do require that the industry organize the trade promotion activities. But in partnership with the U.S. government, you can open up so many possibilities that you couldn't accomplish on your own. And here's the example that I want to finish with. The Export Green Brazil trade mission that happened last fall that Ed mentioned. Most of you are aware this went to Recife, Brazil, and they partnered with the Brazil U.S. Business Council. They're the ones who received the funds from the Department of Commerce, and we did work with them to help organize it. Unfortunately, I couldn't go on the trip. I was very sad. I wished I could have been there, but basically, one of the key things we did is knowing that Sao Paulo was already fairly saturated with domestic ethanol and not interested in importing, so we advised them to go to the Northeast. And we didn't actually send any commercial, any Department of Commerce senior officials with the group, but the commercial service in Recife, they organized, they cast a wide net, and they found 12 importers who were eager to meet with the U.S. companies. And I've had a chance to speak with most of these participants. There were four companies. And so far, there have been at least $20 million in sales related to this mission, and that's just what is shipped. That's only the beginning because there will be more later this spring, and I've talked, companies have other opportunities that are coming up. So this is really quite an amazing return on investment. I think what worked particularly well is that we included two marketers, and so, helping a variety of ethanol producers. And one of them, CHS, they even sent a Brazil-based salesperson, but he even said he learned a lot, even though he wasn't new to the market. So there's really just no substitute for being there in person. And another company told me that they had already established distribution channels to Brazil, but the trade mission still had a huge influence on their decision to focus more on Brazil. The timing was perfect. These companies positioned themselves to meet the buyers right before a surge in the ethanol production, thanks to a good harvest. And, of course, Brazil's low-hanging fruit because the policy environment is so favorable to ethanol. You don't even have to fight about why ethanol. And we have a very healthy trading relationship. But I'm very pleased with the results of this trade mission, and hopefully there could be more to come to other areas as well. And just before I go to the end, I just want to bring up this chart comparing U.S. ethanol exports to Brazil in these 3 years, 2011, 2012, 2013. And you'll notice for the past couple of years, the sales have tended to be reliably higher in the first half of the year, with the exception of 2011, but that was a very unusual year. And this year, the export sales to Brazil were, frankly, a little bit lackluster until the last couple months. And look at that, exports generated from the trade mission. And in fact, December, we had the most monthly exports to Brazil since July 2012. So it really does make an impact, have a difference. So, all right, these are the final thoughts I want to leave you with. First point, needs no explanation. You need to export. Secondly, you can always take the approach that, you sell as needed. Chad talked about that. There's always going to be that opportunity. But a more systematic approach that leverages U.S. government export promotion resources can provide a firmer foundation for stable exports. So if you will, it's sort of creating a springboard into the rising tide of opportunities. I love that metaphor. So thank you very much for your attention, and I will be here until 2 o'clock today. I'll leave for the airport at 2 o'clock, so if you want to come up to me afterwards, I'd be happy to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Cora. I can tell you that we are already trying to be proactive with respect to Asia. A few of you may know, we are applying for a Market Development Cooperative Program grant. We're fingers are crossed that we'll get it. It's the Southeast Asian Ethanol Export Initiative. We focus on Philippines, India, and Singapore.